Morning into the house. Is there anyone here for the first time? You're very welcome. Great to have you with us. Great to have you with us here this morning. And you're welcome to hang around, and we have a lovely cup of tea or coffee downstairs for you. Amen. You know, without further ado, I want to ask one of our men to come and join us this morning. We love stories in this house, don't we? Yeah. And this guy is going to come and he's going to share his story for about 7 minutes, and he's going to tell us how God has transformed and empowered him to change. And will you just welcome with me, please, give him a round of applause for Richie Sharp. Come on, Richie. Amen. We'll be fighting over the mic. But Richie, it's great to have you here with us this morning. And just to ask you, how did you come to Liberty? And how did you come to know Jesus?
Well, when I was growing up, I grew up 4 minutes walk from here in the Coon. I've always done drank, I've always done drugs. I smoked hash from a young age. I started selling hash when I was about 15. I sold it in school every Friday. From that, I smoked it like for years. Then I went, the rave scene came. I got into ecstasy. I did tons and tons of ecstasy. I sold that as well. When I was 17, I first encountered heroin. I took it to react to a different drug. Like, I was on ecstasy, and the reason why I got into heroin, because I counteracted the effects of ecstasy, I could get sleep on it. From there on, I only started doing it weekly. Then, of course, it got a grip of me. Over a couple of years then, I was strung out. I sold it. I was a heroin dealer for 8 years. I sold it all around the Coon, Dolphins Barn, Michael's Estate up in Fatima, Inchy Car. This is hard for me to say. But I eventually got in with a gang from Crumlin. And the violence like spoiled out of control. They're a well-known gang, they're always in the newspaper. I was with them, I knocked around with them for years. I've been involved in tortures, punishment beatings. I've threatened people with weapons. I got involved with paramilitaries when I was about 26 or 27. Then there was an assassination attempt made on my life when I was 26. I survived an assassination attempt up in Crumlin. The front of the house was shot up. And this is my way of getting out of the gang. After that, I just left them. And as we are going out to the back door, there was a fella sitting on the back wall with a machine gun for something that we did. I won't go into it. Because a lot of the stuff I've done, it'd be too improper to say in a Sunday morning church. I was paid £4,000 at the time to walk away. That's what I was paid. They gave me £4,000. I walked away, told me back now. Because we made a hell of a lot of money in the 90s. Then I sold heroin for my own use then. I had a €250 day habit just on heroin. I took copious amounts of cocaine. I was a drinker. So all in all, I could have been spending £2,000 a week on drinking drugs. That led me to, my family turned their back on me. That was the hardest thing for me. I remember my mum saying to me, she wished I was dead. Because I just caused chaos. I was toxic. I was hated around the area. And then I was 6 months without talking to my family. I was homeless. I weighed about 7.5 stone. If I walked by Mount Jerome, they'd think zombie apocalypse would be happening. Like, I was that bad. One night then, I was sharing this with the lads in the men's group. It had a profound effect on my life. I was in the pub during the day, and I decided, right, I had enough, because my family just blanked me, and I hated that. And I decided I was going to take me on my own life. So I did a lot of drinking that day, did a lot of cocaine. By the end of the night, I was back down heroin. I knew where I was going to go. I picked the lane where I was going to do it in. And I did it. I cut both my wrists. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. But that was the beginning of the end of one life and the start of another. You're probably thinking, how is he still here? But as I was sitting there that night, and I remember it was drizzly rain, I seen a black pair of shiny shoes. And I thought it was the guards. And as I looked up, there was an old man there. He must have been in his 80s. He was well dressed. You know, I always remember he had a yellow cravat on, had a suit, pristine white shirt, and he looked like he shouldn't have been there. And he sat down in the gutter beside me, and we talked about life. This wrist was the worst, because I really cut that one deep. That one wasn't so bad, because I couldn't hold the blade. This old man talked to me about life. He was able to tell me that, and he was right. This man told me everything that's happened to now will be a distant memory for him. He was able to tell me that my life would be changed. He told me I'd get back in touch with my family. He told me I'd get off the drugs. He told me I'd meet a woman from foreign lands. He told me I'd have kids. And he told me you'll forget this eventually. I can't remember how he left me. Like whether I fell asleep, I can't remember. Oh yeah, and as he was talking to me, he was rubbing this wrist. I went to Merson's Quay the next day to get cleaned up, and he looked at me wounds, and he said to me, that didn't happen last night. I said, it did happen last night. I said, I know when it happened. He's there, all wounds. I said, they put paper stitches on them. I never had to get proper stitches. I've never seen that man again. I looked for him. For a long, long time. A couple of weeks after that, my mother got in touch with me. And even though I was still doing drugs, that meant an awful lot to me. I moved back home under the understanding I won't do it in the house, but, you know, you still did. A little while after that, Castle Street Clinic got in touch with me. I can't even remember putting my name down there. So I was accepted into a methadone course. 6 months after that, I met my wife. And while I was on the methadone, I decided myself I'm going to self-detox. Because after a little while, me and Donna, we decided we'd get married. And you know, when you meet your soulmate, it's your soulmate. Mm-hmm. So I said to myself, well, I'm going to be off methadone by the time I get married. That was my goal. So it was 8 months of sheer hell, like DTs every night, shakes, because I just kept dropping. And I fell short at the end. But when we were on honeymoon in Mauritius, that was the last time I used methadone. I remember throwing the bottle into the sea, and she was panicking, oh, you're going to be sick, you'll be sick. But you know what, I wasn't. And I'd never look back. Now, I'll come to that in a minute. You know, so I don't know, and then like people would be thinking, oh, well, that's it, you are saved, that's you're on the straight and narrow now. But it wasn't, that was only the beginning of my problems, really, because I suffered with OCD. I was like Mrs. Delfour on cocaine. OCD like kept me, I was anxiety. And then when I had my kids, and I was out of work then, I was 2 years or something. I got depression big time. And I had suicidal thoughts back then as well. And I remember I went to Pieta House for a little bit. They didn't do much help. I thought to help myself. But I got over that. And then, Donna, imagine that. I was brought into a Christian family, holding a family of Christians. I used to take the rip out of them quite a lot, but they've sort of brought me on the road to where I am now. And we had a lot of problems before we came to this church. One of it was a mutual friend of ours, brought her to Hope. She wasn't too keen on that, and then she was talking about this place. And when I have to admit, when I came in here for the first time, I thought you were all whack balls. Every one of you was looking at us. What am I?
And you're one of us.
And I remember Jay Sullivan saying to me, he says, I'll see you here again. And that was the fourth day I was in here. I'm looking at him. I was thinking, I'm a Christian boy, you know, or I'm a Catholic boy. I said, you won't see me back in this hell place. And 3 years later, I'm still here. Even when it comes to worship, and you do a great job doing worship, I was never into it. Noel used to say to me, he said, why won't you sing? I said, it's just not my thing, I don't like it. He said, well, why don't you sing when you watch your night and stuff? I said, well, that's different. I said, well, he says, it's not different, this is better. But guess what, a little miracle did happen. I sing now, Noel. You know? So then I just like to say, I was listening to Jimmy there a couple of weeks ago. Saying about the tithing and how it helped his family. Now, when Donna first done this and I found out about it, I went ballistic. That's the only word for that. Because we are struggling with bills, mortgages, struggling. And then I found out she's given 10% of my bloody wages to the church. I just couldn't understand that. And it caused a lot of arguments and friction. And she used to say to me, you do it. I said, I'm not doing that. That's crazy. So I said to her, I'll do it as an experiment. And I remember her laughing, saying, well, that's what God wants you to do. I said, no, I'm doing this for myself. It's just an experiment. So she said, do what you want. But guess what? I did it. And I don't know. I was on the Nat King Cole at the time. So I hadn't got a lot of money. But I gave the 10% religiously, the whole 10% she was getting. And do you know what? It's just all my problems have vanished. I don't have anxiety anymore. I don't get stressed. Well, I do sometimes with Donna, but most times I'm all right. But anxiety is out the window. I don't have depression. When I start giving the tithes, I don't worry about bills or money. I don't know, a year and a half now, I haven't worried about anything like that. My friends and even my own family, they say to me, how can you not worry about money? I says, if I wake up Monday morning skint, I know by Friday I'll have money in my pocket. And if it's that supernatural, it's supernatural. But it works for me. And I just have a peace of mind now coming to the church. If I don't come to church on a Sunday and get the word, I'm in a mood for the week. And that's how it is on me now. Now, I'm not, if I class myself as a lazy Christian. I don't help the homeless, or I don't do charity work, or, you know, I don't do anything like that. But I'm in this, I'm not going to say in it for myself, but I'm breaking the chains is what held me back for years, and with my family and stuff, and all my baggage is gone now. And with the grace of God, I'll continue. Thank you very much.
Amen. Well done, Richie. And just one final question. One final question.
This is the dodgy one, isn't it?
Now, what would you say to somebody that's here today for the first time, or somebody that doesn't know Jesus, what would you say to them?
Keep on coming. Get in with someone. I'm not going to say believer in it. I'm not big into reading the Bible. I got a lot of feedback from other Christians, just talking to them, telling stories, and it does help. Get yourself to one of the groups. When I went to that Robert Morrison, that was brilliant. I got so much out of them. Men's groups, go to them. Just jump on the bandwagon. It does help you, and it gives you an understanding and stuff. So do it.
Amen. Amen. Richie Sharp, well done. Great job. Great job. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Richie. Great job. And then we have Noel. Amen.
Oh, that was amazing, wasn't it? Well done, Richie and Donna. And God is just fantastic. He's just fantastic at what he does. And it's amazing that angels turn up at 4 o'clock in the morning wearing suits and shiny shoes. And that's just amazing. When Richie told us that story at the men's meeting one night, he said he hadn't thought about it again until we just, I don't know what we were doing, we were just saying, ask the Lord to show us something that he'd done in our lives or something like that. And Richie says, he tells us this story, and we're all like, and I think we all went together, that was an angel. That wasn't an ordinary person, that was an angel. And it's just fantastic. I'm trying to get my laptop work on me, whatever this is. Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks, Lord. And we're just so blessed, Lord. No matter where we find ourselves at in this world, Lord, you're the answer, Lord. You're the answer, Jesus. You know how to get to us. Whether we're hiding down a lane, oh God, or whether we're in a palace somewhere, you know how to get to us. And we just appreciate that about your nature, Lord. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He's great at finding lost things and lost peoples. Watch out for him. He likes to take things that were lost on you and restore them back to you. Things that were taken away and given them back to you. Things that you never even had and give them to you. We thank you, Lord. We just are thankful that we are recipients of the grace and the love of God. And Lord, we take off every limitation that we have on you, Lord. Your word says, Lord, that with God all things are possible. And we believe that here, Lord. We believe it, Lord. We take off every limitation off of our thinking, off of our experiences, Lord. And we say, you don't dictate or define who God is. God cannot be defined by anything. He defines everything. He's undefinable because he's always self-existed. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We serve a great God. Amen. Amen. Just a testimony like that messes you up for a few minutes till you gather yourself again. And I want to talk over the next couple of weeks on, I think, just some, it's going to be a lot of subjects, but I'm calling the foundations, because the foundations is the most important thing in a building. It doesn't matter how grand a building is, that or how tall a building is. If it hasn't got the right foundation, there's going to be trouble down the road. It might look good for a while, but then when storms come or high winds come, you will see that building doesn't really, really stand the test of time. And it's the same for believers. That Jesus told a story about the man that built the house. And when it wasn't built on the right foundation, when it wasn't built on Jesus, the rock, when the waters came, the house that wasn't built on the rock crumbled. And we can build our lives on popularity, on empire building, on natural gifts. We can build our foundation on people. But what happens when they fail? What happens when that people walk out the door or let you down? What happens when the empire has to succumb to a bigger empire, a stronger empire? It's important where we build our lives. And Jesus said, if you build upon the rock, the rains will come. He never said the rains won't come. He never said the storms of life won't come. He never said the pains of life won't come. I thank God that he never said that and then it all happens to us. Because he's not that type of God. He's a realist. But when you're built upon the rock, he says they will come, but they won't take you out. How many people here, and I'm the first to put my hand up, that you thought when a storm came into your life, you thought it was taking you out? How many people? But it didn't. That's the beauty of it. You're like, oh, remember that time. You're remembering something. If you're able to remember it, it means it didn't take you out. It's like what Richie was saying. You're probably all wondering how am I here. Might have been 10, you've been down the lane. But what we build upon is vitally important. Because this world is a powerful world. And I want to start this foundation series with, from the very get-go, of that the foundation of your life is the power of God. The Bible says in Joel that it's not by might or by power. It's not by military might. It's not by your own strength or ingenuity. It's not by might or power, but it's by the Spirit of God. Jesus says that without Him, you can do nothing. At least nothing of eternal consequences or purpose for Him. In and of ourselves, we'll get along for a while, but we'll fail, won't we? So we are based, and this walk is based on, not by might or not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Because I know when I get into my own strength and my own power, eventually I end up on the face. I don't know why my nose is not flat like that. Because I've failed so many times when I've got into my own strength. And as soon as I look to Him again, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I've gone in my own strength again. Strengthen me. Heal me. Deliver me. The Bible says in Psalms that there was a poor man that cried to God, and God heard his cry. God always hears your cry. And I want to start off that we are supposed to be powerful people, because God lives in us. And what is God, do you think, is God's answer to a powerful world? I was going to say that God gives us power in a powerless world. And I'm like, hang on a minute now. This world is not powerless. This world is powerful. This world is so powerful that it draws my attention. It asks for my allegiance. That its temptations and its gold and what it has to offer is very appealing to me. I need a greater power to be able to resist that powerful draw. The power of being liked. The power of wanting to please man instead of pleasing God. Because if we don't want to please God, we will please man. What do you think of me? Will you love me? Will you still love me tomorrow? Until we find a greater love. Or someone who knows the worst of me and loves me the best. With man, you can show them the best of you and they love you the worst. With God, He knows the worst of us and He loves us the best. And until you find that greater love, until you find that acceptance in Him, until you find that He loves you like you big, great, beautiful thing, you know. I love you in the dirt and I love you on the mountaintop. That His love is consistent. He's not like any other gods that people confess that are not even gods, by the way. They're demons dressed up. He doesn't change today and tomorrow. He doesn't go, I love you today, but I don't love you tomorrow. He's consistent. And when you find that love, and it's a journey of allowing His love to do its work inside of us, that you come to a place and it's like, you know what, Lord? This world is powerful, but I found something more powerful. The power of love is a beautiful thing. Makes one man weep, makes another man sing. What did the Beatles say? All you need is love, love me. Love lifted me up where I belong. Love, love changes. What's love got to do? Got to do with it. Until you find there's a greater love. And when you find that love, you're able to love. When you find that love, you are able to love. Not just yourself, but others. This world is powerful. Look at the powerful things in this world. There's powerful armies. They can go into countries and take over countries. There's special elite forces, secret agents, weaponry that you couldn't believe. Do you ever, you know, like they can go in and bomb up a country without even being present in the country. There's powerful belief systems. And in this secular world, there's huge belief systems, humanism, secularism, positive thinking. It's very, very powerful. But it's empty. It's still yourself. Beliefs in these belief systems have the power to create and the power to destroy. It's very powerful. There's power. Don't forget the power of Google. In Google we trust. There's powerful information in this information age that we have. You can know anything these days. There's power of religion. Religion hoodwinks people into a self, into a state of self-righteousness that ultimately sends them to hell. And there is a hell. And religion sends them, religion starts wars all through the centuries. Believing in certain religions and ideologies causes people to strap bombs to themselves and kill people. That's powerful. That can cause a person to give up everything. Religion hoodwinks people into a self of self-righteousness, meaning I can be good enough one day to stand before God. I used to think it was funny. I lived in Dartmouth Barn there, and we have a church there, Dartmouth Barn, a church in Rialto. And there'd be people going out to rob people, or coming back from rob people, and they go by the church and they go, they bless themselves. It's a form of, oh, I'm not that bad. Hey Mary, hey Joseph. The power of a lie. Very powerful. What's being said? Who said it? What you believe? The power of a lie is that can go from I'm not good enough to there is no God. The power of money. I nearly had another song there. Neil Diamond. Money talks. The world is ruled by power and power is obtained by money. They reckon there's 3% of the world's, 3% of people that rule the world financially. That with money you rule media. Open up your own media, global media. The power of social media can destroy people and yet at the same time elevate people. Dearly beloved, don't make a show of yourself anymore on social media. Don't tell social media problems. Tell the King of Kings. Amen. Dearly beloved, don't look for pity off social media. Go to the King and get healed. Dearly beloved, don't rip off people or tear people down on social media. Go to the Beloved and find the grace to forgive. The power of ambition, the good and bad and the ugly of it all. The world is powerful. And what's God's response to this powerful world? What does He do? He gives us a greater power. When Jesus rises from the dead, He meets the disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. When He rose from the dead, after the disciples had seen the power of this world, they had experienced the power of social media. The popularity stakes went from hero, Jesus being the hero, to Jesus being zero. One day, all the popular social media people of His day were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. The next week, they were saying, crucify Him. The disciples had experienced the power of money. Judas succumbing to the money. He had experienced himself the power of a lie. The power of military. Pontius Pilate giving the okay for Jesus to be killed. The power of religion. The Pharisees, the religious of the day, getting their religious cravings satisfied. The power of ideology. The Pharisees' belief system crushing the innocent. The disciples had seen it all. They'd seen all of this that we experienced. And what was going to happen? And what was God's response to that? What's God's response to us in a powerful world? He says in Romans, in his word, he says, Romans 12 says, don't conform to this world. Don't do life the way this world is propagating life. They say kill, he says forgive. They say get rich at any cost, he says give. Whose world system are we believing to? We have to understand, we are in this world. We live in this world, walk in this world, operate in this world. But the Bible says we're not of this world. So what world are we from? What world are we acting out of? Which kingdom, which citizenship am I living out of? The citizenship of this world or the citizenship of the kingdom of God? Let the renewing of your mind, the transformation of your mind happen by the word of God. Because this is the only thing we have it to base on. Not man's ideas, man's ideology. It's the word of God. Jesus gets them there. He says, let's read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you don't know this, remember this. Get into memorizing your word. Write it down 21 times. That's what I used to do. And he said, if you write something down 21 times, you'll remember it. Sharon says, where's my little missus? The enemy wants to put a sock in it. The enemy tried to put a sock in Jesus' mouth. He starts quoting the word of God. It's written, it's written. You know what Jesus done? He took the sock out and he socked it to him. He says, here's what the word says. Boom. You can't fight off the enemy with clever words or crafted sentences. It's the word of God. Clever phraseology doesn't hand. You can't. Someone told me, I told the enemy to F off. You think he bows to that? He created that language. He doesn't bow to that. He bows to the word. Jesus said, it's written, it's written. My Father, the Holy Spirit, has already inspired men to write this stuff. Listen to what he says in his response to them was in all of this. He said to them, one of them asked, let's go to verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you... Now remember, he's after rising from the dead. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Pause. Nobody knows the time or date when the Lord is coming back in the end of the age. I don't care who you listen to on the God channel or anything else. Jesus says, the Father knows. Yet there's signs, yet there's things that he told us to look for, but nobody knows. I do giggle and get angry at the same time. The world is ending. The world doesn't end, by the way. The age comes to an end. But the world doesn't end. How to survive the tribulation and the end of the times? Buy my books. If we really believe that Jesus is coming back soon, if we really believe the end of the age is coming, why are we shouting from the rooftops that salvation's only found in Jesus? Why isn't these people going to the ends of the earth and telling us to go to the ends of the earth? If Jesus is coming back soon, we need to bring others with us. Jesus says here, it's in red letters, that means it's Jesus' writing. Jesus only had a red pen. Don't let anyone, he said, the time by his own authority, fair say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive power. The word for power is dunamis, it's dynamite, landscape shaking, shifting, shaping. And power that will cause landscapes to look different. Cause lives to look different. That this power blows gates off of even hell. And he says, and you're going to receive that now. Go and wait. And you will be my witnesses even to the end of the age. Wait. Have you learned how to wait on God? Have you learned how to sit with Him and wait? Those who wait receive. They will renew their strength. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not faint. They will mount up on wings of eagles. That your walk will turn into, your wait will turn into a walk. Your walk will turn into a run. And your run will move into a takeoff. But we have to wait. There's no quick fixes. The people that we read by the books listen to, except for the ones that have other people writing their sermons, the real men and women of God, they wait. They wait. You don't get it cheap. Why am I not receiving my miracle? Have you waited? Why am I not receiving my breakthrough? Have you waited? Why am I not receiving a word from the Lord? Have you waited? What's waiting? For me, it's just going into my room. For me, it's in my car. For me, when I'm walking, I'm a singing, talking, walking preacher. I want to walk when I'm praying. I'm one of these people. I pray in tongues. If you put tongues into your waiting. See, that's why, guys, when Sharon was saying about the sock in the mouth, I'm like, no wonder God gave us the gift of tongues. We have to speak this stuff out. Are you like me? For the last 2 years, the Lord had to rebuke me so many times. Stop praying in your head. Do you pray in your head? He says to me, declare it now. Speak it out. You're telling the whole heavenlies who your God is, whose name you're praying in, what you're believing for. Stop praying in there. That's why He gave us the gift of tongues. That's why He gave us prophecy. It has to be spoken. He says, I'm going to give you power to do this stuff. I'm not going to ask you to do a job and reach in the world and not give you power. But He told them to wait. To wait. Grab your word. Richie, you get into your word. You started singing, now get into the word. Get into your word. Get into it. Just if it, oh, I don't understand. You don't understand the Bible. You don't understand the Lord is my shepherd. Come on. Memorize it. Look up the Bible. Get onto Bible Hub on the internet. And they'll give you every meaning of every Hebrew word in Psalm 23. And you'll be a scholar in Psalm 23. When someone wants to talk about a shepherd, you say, wait, and I'll tell you what type of shepherd that is. The Hebrew word, doesn't make it sound very intelligent. In the Hebrew it says, I don't understand. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, that's enough to get you all the way to heaven. Don't let the enemy rob you. Don't let him say, no, you won't ever understand that. Well, you'll be my witness. I have to finish. The Holy Spirit came, Acts 2, chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came with what? A violent wind came into the house where they were waiting. See, God always comes to those who wait. Believe me, He always comes. If you set a time to wait on God, you won't walk out the same. You won't walk out the same. You'll never walk away with no bread to eat. And you mightn't feel it, don't get me wrong. It's not all about feelings. Because you're waiting on them things to kick off. Lord, here I am. Here's my prayer. Can I tell you my prayer? I'll bring it into my secret place. I sit and I go, Lord, here I am. I pray for the blood of Jesus to go into every crevice of my life, every pain, every disappointment, every area of brokenness, and bring the light that's in the blood of Jesus. Heal me, set me free, deliver me, comfort me. I'm here for you, Lord. I want you above everything else, that you're the joy of my heart. That's my prayer. You're the joy of my heart. And then I get up my guitar that I can't play. I do. Can't play it, doesn't matter me. Ain't no ground gonna keep me down. Ain't no ground gonna keep this man down. It's not rocket science. Do you know what happens? I never walk out there without nothing. I might go in, I say to Sharon, what she'll tell you. Sharon, you know what I found out last night in the scriptures? Do you know what that Hebrew word means? And you know what Sharon goes? Well, every man would like his wife to say, wow, I have a man that's been with God. And I made a commitment to Sharon 27 years ago. If I spend time with him, I'll never hurt you deliberately. I'm not saying I'll never hurt her. I said I'll never do it deliberately. Because he won't let me away with it. When I go back into him, no. And many times have I come out with my tail between my legs, Sharon. Not because Sharon beat me down, but because God spoke to me. Go in there and be a husband. Go in there and be humble. Go in there and say you're sorry. That's what happens in my waiting place. Some people say, I can't feel God. He hasn't moved. He's still in the secret place. That's where you always find him. It's where you always, and unlike you, I'm a human being. Don't think I'm like Moses. I'm meant to go up to that mountain every day and get in there. I have to shut this baby down to go in there. I have to shut this baby down. What did Al say? The fanatic in the attic, he has to go. He has to go. He says, I'm going to give you power to be my witnesses. And here's where we leave it this morning. Because he didn't only give us power. This was manifested in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is manifested in the fruits of the Spirit. This is how we show the world who Jesus is. By living according to the fruits that God, the Holy Spirit, has in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, and self-control. That's how you know. And the gifts demonstrate who he is to the world. Paul says, I haven't come to you with eloquent words. He says to the church, I could come with you with nice phraseology and crafted words and this little stuff, you know, wherever. I can't even think of any crafted words. But preachers are spending more time in getting little phrases that are useless and powerless in the kingdom. Because they're man-made. I can't even think of any. I don't even put a title to me sermons. That's how bad I am. Because my energy is not going into crafting words. It's going into seeking the Lord. And one word from a man or a woman seeking God can change a nation. And we get to decide. You get to decide whether you're going to echo someone else's words or you're going to be a voice that speaks his words. And he says you're going to be witnesses. And this is where I'm trying to leave it. What's a witness? Jesus says, you're going to be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Jerusalem was the religious hub of the day. You're going to be my witness in the religious hubs of the day. That's what he was saying. Not only to them, to us. In Acts chapter 2, he says, this is for you. When he talked about what's this Holy Spirit coming, Peter says, this is for you, and for your children, and all those who are far off. Right down to you. Jerusalem being the religious hub, Judea was the business hub. And God wants us to be his witness wherever we do business. He wants us to be in Samaria. That was like, if I say any place, like it'll be down my own city. But that was the other side of the tracks place. The Samaritans, the Jews said, yous are dogs. Yous are not even dogs, like a fully bred cockle spaniel. You're mongrels. That's what they were called. Mongrels. That's why the woman was so amazed, that Samaritan woman that Jesus spoke to her. He doesn't treat people as mongrels. He says, I'm going to send you to the place where no Jew wants to go. But I'm going to give you power to go there. Where nobody else wants to go, you're going to go. And then to the ends of the world. Even to Ireland. I'm going to give you my power. What's a witness? A witness is somebody who sees something and hears something. So they can give an account of what they've seen and heard. So it's no good if there was a crash out there and I come, Simon, but were you a witness? No, why were you not a witness? You didn't see it. I didn't hear the crash. You're not a good witness. What does a witness, there's a word for it in the courts. I can't think of it. Like the witness is no good. They haven't got the right words. They weren't there. They didn't see it. It's hearsay, third party, not good. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. You will see and hear me, and you will be able to tell them out there what you've seen and heard. So here's where I get out of this. If this is for all of us, God wants you to see him and hear him. Because how can you be a witness if you haven't seen him or heard him? Do you ever tell, me trying to tell Richie's story, I'm all right at telling stories, and I would do a very, very good job at that, Richie. There's nothing like you saying it. There's nothing like you saying the power that comes off you, the emotion that comes off you, the reality of it in you. I'd do all right with it. Eventually, it'd be me down the lane. I'd be the man. Eventually, I'd be the man with the shiny shoes. But it's not going to be powerful. It's like, was that you? Did you see the man? No, Richie did. It's good, but it's not great. Jesus, now you're going to have first-hand information and you're going to have first-hand viewing so you can tell the world. God wants you to see him and hear him. Look all through the Bible. That's what he done. I found, I done a quick study of Revelations this morning. If you believe it. Say, man, you're some man for one man, though. So John, the revelation, listen to this. The revelation of John, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, that must take place. John, God was revealed to him. Chapter 4. After this I looked. Whoa. Chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand. Chapter 5, 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. Chapter 6. I watched as the Lamb of God opened the seven seals. After this I saw four angels standing. After this I looked and there before me a great multitude. Chapter 8. Then I saw seven angels. Chapter 8 runs into 9. Then I saw another mighty angel. Chapter 10. Then an angel I seen standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand. Then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, verse 14, and I looked, and before me was the Lamb. Verses 14 and 14, I looked, and there before me a white cloud. Chapter 15, I saw in heaven another great marvelous sign. Verse 5 of 15, after this I looked into heaven. Chapter 16, then I heard a voice. Chapter 16, then I heard an angel in charge of the waters say, and then I heard a response from the altar. Chapter 17, I saw the woman. Chapter 17, verse 15, then I saw an angel. Then the angel said to me, after this I saw another angel. Do you get it? And it's all the way through, all the pink lines. All the way through. I saw. I heard. That's how John could give a witness to what's to happen. Because he's seen and he heard. And we want to be powerful witnesses. God wants us to be. He wants us to see and hear. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand. What's God's response? What's the foundation stone? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, go and wait, and the promise that my Father promised you will come. And we were all together in one place. And what seemed to be the wind came, and what seemed to be tongues of fire came and rested on each one of them. 120 rocked the world. It says that flames came and rested on them. Every name had a flame. There wasn't one person that wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. There wasn't one person that wasn't filled and speaking in another language. Paul says and prays for the church in Ephesus. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open so that you would have revelation, you would see, have revelation, that you'd have eyes that sees God, you'd have ears that hear God, so that you may know him better, that you may be a witness of him who can do anything. And I pray today, if you would just hold your hands out as if receiving, this is your expectation moment. If you're visiting with us, what a great morning to come. Receive sight. Receive hearing. Receive the knowings of the Holy Spirit in your life. Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says to him, he stopped and went back to him. Bartimaeus, what do you want? Liberty, what do you want? Girl, what do you want? Woman, what do you want? Man, what do you want? If he would have said, Jesus, you wouldn't have an old cloak there, would you? He would have gotten a cloak. Jesus, I'm hungry. Would you have a few shekels? Peter, give him a few shekels. He didn't say, he said, Jesus, I want to see. Jesus, as your faith is, so it shall be unto you. That's what we're left with today. I've released the power of the Holy Spirit to meet a powerful world with an opposite of what the world looks for. That will win the world. That turned the world upside down with these men that received it. What do you want? If you settle for the bar to be raised a foot, you'll get it. Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to raise the bar as high as I can to the heavens. And wherever I am in this church, I raise it up to that height in the name of Jesus. And I say, let's go for it all, guys. Let's go for him. He says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm your very great reward. Do you know what he says to the priests, the Levites? They didn't get land. They got him. They got his presence, the priests. That's what we're called to be, priests. They got him. They didn't get land. They got him. What do you want? What do you want? So shall it be. So shall it be in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, we ask, Lord, for more of you in our personal lives, in our family, in our community, in our city. More of you as a church, Lord, so that we can be the witnesses. Lord, let us see you and hear you. Every single one of us. She goes, I'm never going to see God or hear God. Look at that man down the lane did. You will. If that's what you want, you will get. So send us out of this place as what's already been declared over us. People that have a voice. Take the sock out and sock it to the devil. I'm not being quiet anymore. Just make a declaration. I'm not being quiet. Your story is powerful. Don't think you have to have experience all the things that Richie said. That's Richie's story. Your story is your story. And your story is powerful. And I will send you out to be the witnesses that you have been empowered to be. That you will see and hear Jesus. You will know his power and his love. And your job is to give it to others. His job is to give it to us. Our job is to receive it and then give it away. And believe me, it's better to give than receive it. Would you put your hand on someone's shoulder as we pray? I thank you so much. What a great church you are. What a great people. I wouldn't swap you to do church with anyone else other than who Jesus would ever call me to. Just pray. Just lift your voice. Just say a blessing over that person. If you don't know any words, just say, Lord, bless them. Be their shepherd. Never leave them or forsake them. Let them know, Lord, that you're always with them. Let them know you'll always provide. Let them know, Lord, you're with them, even in the valleys. Let them know you'll always get fuel to them. Let them know you'll always get your provision to them. You're the shepherd. You're the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. And the sheep know his voice. We love you, Jesus. Lord, I pray this week, Lord, as we get sent out of this place, into the city, Lord, into wherever we live, Lord, to be the witness of God in this city, Lord, to see God manifest in this city, Lord, to bring this city to know Jesus, Lord God. I send us out, Lord, as the apostolic people of God, the people who are founded, Lord, in apostolic, Lord, ministry, Lord, and will continue in apostolic ministry to see to do the things that you've said that we can do, Lord. And I send us out, Lord, under the anointing, the empowerment, the equipping, and enablement of Almighty God. Lord, we send out, Lord God, your people into this city, Lord, to do the things that Jesus says we could do in his name, Lord. Amen. Guys, we'll see you on Wednesday. Please come to the prayer meeting for the machine gun preacher. There is leaflets down the back. Do you want to take a couple? Because you have people to invite to next week's machine gun preacher. Please take some, give an invite, and there we'll see you then.